The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Amber is a quiet, soft-spoken, I call her a little girl because she's my baby.
I can't put
it into words, really, how it feels to have the knowledge that she's sick and I can't get to her.
That's the mother of Amber Vinson, who talked about how tough this whole thing has been and how awful it has been to see her daughter dragged through the mud, as she put it at one point. Her name's Deborah Berry, saying that the hospital protocol was followed by her daughter, that she did all the right things. She has no idea what happened. How did this possibly happen? And she said when her daughter came to Ohio, they spent most of their time out of the public because they were having slumber parties and watching movies because they both work very long hours. And when she was preparing to fly back to Dallas, she felt like she had a slight fever. And following the protocols that she was given, this is what her mother says, she contacted a team member of the Dallas County Health Department. They contacted the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They cleared her to fly because they said her temperature was 99.5 degrees. They cleared her. So whose fault is that for that flight that took place? And there's where we begin the blame game. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. It still is all about Ebola because it's on the minds of so many people. The Ebola czar officially takes his spot on Wednesday. And there have been a lot of conversations about, are we ready as a nation? Should we have this happen again? Or more importantly, as we get through this crisis, because we can't be guaranteed that somebody else doesn't have Ebola or it's incubating or they've been in contact with other people. We're not completely in the clear, even though a lot of people are coming off of monitoring in Dallas, including those who had the closest relationships with Tom Duncan. In the meantime, the thing that was discussed initially is the five U.S. airports and the Africans that have been assigned to the airports at this point, meaning that when you come in to JFK or Newark, when you come in from one of those West Africa countries, one of those West African areas like Liberia, you have to go through a JFK, a Chicago, an Atlanta. And once you go through, they will be taking your temperature, asking you questions, all that kind of stuff. And the thought is that they could catch somebody in the net should they be coming in with Ebola. But I think the problem is that whole incubating thing, showing no signs. And then all of a sudden you show the signs because Tom Duncan, when he was leaving Liberia, went through three checkpoints. He didn't have that fever spike. And once he was in the United States, that's when it all started. So that's the problem. The argument continues over whether or not we should really have shut down the flights. That clearly, if the flights had been shut down, would we be worried about this? Would we have to have these checks at the airport, that kind of thing? And all signs point to a lot of Republicans are going to really ramp up that conversation because we're getting closer and closer to Election Day. And that's less than 2 weeks away. So we're starting to hear more of that. Why did that happen? And oh, by the way, that NBC cameraman, remember the one who knew? He's like, oh, he knew he had Ebola. They got him back into the United States. He said that he was grateful to be alive after the hospital treating him declared him free of Ebola. And he was working as a freelance camera guy for NBC in Monrovia, Liberia, when he felt ill. He's saying he's going to go home on Wednesday, and he said he will speak to the media, too, as well. I'd be curious to hear what he has to say. His name is Ashok Mahpo, and, just in his early 30s, he knows, he's seen what's happened in West Africa, 8 people, including Mokpo, have been or are being treated for Ebola in the United States. And he came into the Nebraska Medical Center on October 6th. He was able to walk off the plane that evacuated him from West Africa. Remember seeing those pictures? And he said he wasn't sure how he got the disease, that he was around a lot of sick people the week before he got sick. And he even said, and this is why this is interesting to hear what people say about getting Ebola. He said, I thought I was keeping a good distance, and I wish I knew what went wrong. I wish I knew what went wrong. He spent a little bit more than 2 weeks in a biocontainment unit, but he says, you know what, he has no regrets about that, none. And he had lived and worked in Liberia for a non-government agency for 2 years before coming back to the United States in May and then wanting to return a few months later. So that's what happened. He started freelancing for NBC News, and that was just a day before he got ill. Because he said, you know, the country was like a second home to him. But what's interesting about that whole thing and what you're listening to is imagine that. I know what's going down. I'm being very careful. I'm keeping a distance. And he says, I wish I could trace it. I wish I knew how I got this so I could tell other people, so I could describe it to people. But I have no idea. I have no idea. And they say the amount of people that are going to be killed by Ebola is going to really skyrocket. It's up to, you know, it's up to almost 500,000 people at this point, almost 500,000. And most of those people, of course, in Africa. But as I mentioned, the 8 being treated here and now in various stages of being Ebola free. And then in Spain, a couple too, remember the nurse and what happened there. And it's just a long period too of being incubated inside you. Then you have Ebola. Then it's a question of who did you come in contact with? We need to monitor them. We need to talk to them. And that's why, because it's 6 degrees of separation, even better. So how do you put a lid on that? That's why there is the fear of a pandemic. It makes sense. Yes, medicine is different in West Africa. Yes, the conditions are abhorrent. They're nothing like in the United States. But there's still no vaccine, no cure, no pill, no anything that you can take for it. Otherwise, we would have been able to save Tom Duncan. And maybe if they had caught it the first time around when he first went into the hospital, maybe that would have been enough time. I mean, who knows? Because it sounds like it was full-fledged. It certainly was the second time he went in. But there's the critical point. There is no known cure for this. There's a lot of experimental drugs. And there's a big rush to these trials to do something, because what do you do? I mean, if you see that people are dying of it, you're going to try to do whatever you can to make it happen. It was never high enough on the list. So clearly other things took precedence, and now all of a sudden it's like, wow, what about Ebola? What about this ZMAP? What about mass producing more of that? It's now taking all this time. Coming up on America Tonight, speaking of medicine, while we have a great guest with us, they're doing some amazing things at the Rossellini Scientific Group, including things to do with the heart and the brain and other functions in the body, almost like, think of a bionic man, the things that they're able to put into you now and how they're able to work that is absolutely phenomenal. And I'll tell you what, as far as scientific discoveries go, wait till you hear this. Austin Duke next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today, October 15th, 2014, gold opened at $1,246.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,292.55, $646.27 for a half ounce, or $323.14 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,292.55, $646.27, and $323.14.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
Well, somebody put it to me the other day. They asked me through an email if I remembered the $6 million man. And it's funny they asked that question because I was just in a bookstore where there were these two Steve Austin replica dolls that were up there on the shelf. And they said a lot of people were interested in them, so they decided they were going to sell them. So, yes, $6 million man. And at the time, if you think of the $6 million man and you look at TV Land now, because you'll see some of those episodes there, I mean, we're talking 70s, but he was part man, sort of part cyborg, if you will. How about what's happening at Dallas-based Rossellini Scientific? They're developing some unbelievable technologies, implantable devices that can help with the early detection of things like, imagine this, cardiac arrest. Think of where we are with heart attacks. Also, brain disorders, high on the list. So in our virtual green room, Austin Duke, VP of Emerging Therapy. So thanks so much, Austin, for coming on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So talk about, heart attacks especially. I guess give us the overall picture. First of all, where are you with these devices? And as you put, have them on the drawing board and you're thinking of, okay, what are we going after? What did you do? List the top three things or four things or five things that people really struggle with?
Well, it's interesting. You can come at it from a couple of different perspectives. There's the approach where you say, I have a piece of technology. It's been developed. It's cutting edge. What could we do with this? Where is there an unmet need where this would be important? And then there's the other perspective to say, well, we've identified a problem. Now let's go design a solution for that problem. So we've actually approached solutions in both directions. We have, through various means, acquired technology that was already developed and have found ways to repurpose it for what we think are some pretty exciting opportunities. And then in other ways, we've looked at the industry, at patients, and at doctors and said, where are we currently struggling? What diseases could use a better therapy, what are patients complaining about, what are doctors complaining about, and then we look and find ways to develop technology to meet those needs. So we come at it from a little bit different perspective, just depending on the case and the resources at hand.
Yeah. What's been the most exciting part about this journey, what you just mentioned, coming at it a couple of different ways?
I would say when you get that feedback from a patient or from a doctor, and this sounds cliche, but it's so true, to have them recognize the importance of what you're doing and to say, you know, I've sat across the table from a patient, you know, take a doctor, for example. I've sat across the table from a patient, and they look at me with, you know, eyes that say, I want a treatment, and I have to look back and say, I don't have anything. For us to come to them and say, hey, we're working on something exciting, we think we have a solution for this problem, and for their, you know, their expression essentially to light up and say, yes, that's what I'm looking for. So we have a process on all these technologies where we go out and talk face-to-face with customers, whether it's a patient, whether it's a physician, whether it's somebody that influences the industry, to make sure that we are aligning our technological development and our approaches with the need. And so when you see an idea that has come up in one of our meeting rooms or in a conversation, or that we've partnered with an inventor, an investigator, and see that go through a few iterations and finally light up the eyes of the person that's intended for that, that's an extremely rewarding experience.
Well, I bet. In talking about heart attacks at the top of this, and people who have heart attacks, have heart failure, and luckily get to the hospital in the nick of time, or then we hear the stories where they don't get there. Your technology, you got like $7 million in development funding now. When you're talking about tackling the things you're talking about, that's pretty important stuff, right, to be able to get that kind of funding.
Yeah, especially in this day and age, you know, in medical devices especially, over the last few years, venture funding has started to dry up a bit. And one of the ways that we've gone about raising funding, well, I should say there's two different ways. One is to tap into grants, both in the U.S. and over in Europe. And those are fantastic for several different reasons. The government is actively investing in healthcare, and they provide you with resources. They provide you not only with capital investment, but also with connections and with some of their infrastructure to be able to do, you know, extend on what we already have to facilitate development. And over in Europe, you have some countries that are looking to build on current infrastructure or remake certain sections of the country to go from more industrialized to into a more advanced or more healthcare centric focus. And so they're investing in companies to bring technology back and forth. And it helps us for a few different reasons. The biggest way is that it allows us to make decisions based purely on the science and the unmet need. So we're able to pair those two together, as opposed to what can happen if an outside investor, and I'm certainly not trying to talk bad about investors, but if there's a misalignment. So it lets us do proof of concept early on non-dilutive grant funding to prove a concept, to demonstrate feasibility, and then we can accelerate that development later with investment once we have that proof of concept. But it's really a great means to get technology off the ground. So like you said, having raised $7 million or so in the last couple of years has been, I don't have the right words to say how important that is to get us to where we're at today and to make progress on some of these exciting things that you've mentioned.
Yeah, tell us where you are with brain disorders. That's also heavily on the radar for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, we're looking at a few different projects there. So we, within the past year, we have acquired a technology and some of the key personnel that were instrumental in developing that technology, approximately $20 million was spent on a deep brain stimulator. And so this device is CE marked for Parkinsonian disorders, movement disorders. And we are looking to extend the development that was already done there. So some fantastic engineering. It's a cutting-edge device, sort of the Cadillac of implantable neurostimulators for brain activation, and looking to now take the next steps towards clinical application. We're looking to pair it with software that will allow for doctors to be able to monitor the technology remotely, which can be an enormous value proposition for patients that are either in rural areas where getting to a hospital center can be difficult, or maybe an elderly patient that it's just hard to get around, where going to the physician can be limiting. So we try to bring the technology to the patient by facilitating remote communications with the doctor. It has value propositions on both ends. We're looking at taking some established therapy, so for instance, epilepsy, and finding ways to improve upon that treatment as well. So we've got grant funding and grant pipeline built up to support that. We've just brought in some new members to our team who have several years of PhD level researchers that are iterating on those approaches. So we're at the beginning stages of the brain research that we're doing, but we have so many exciting projects that we're working on that I would expect that within the next year you're going to hear quite a bit more from us on the traction that we've made.
Yeah, and what do you hope? What's your personal goal, Austin, for, you know, I said you were the VP of Emerging Therapies. What are you hoping, you know, ultimately down the line happens?
Well, my personal goal, and this would be just for me and not for the company, I've always said it would be so exciting for me to walk into the grocery store and see someone using a technology that I had a hand in developing. I mean, that's rewarding. Not to go too long on my story, but I have type 1 diabetes, received an insulin pump a decade or more ago, and it changed my life. And that's what got me into this industry, was to say, there was an engineer, there was a scientist, there was somebody that developed that technology and brought it to me. I want to be able to do the same thing. So to meet that person is a personal goal. As far as the company, what we like to do, and my goal here, is we like to serve as a link or a bridge between early stage good ideas, whether they happen internally with our team, whether they happen with academic institution and investigators or inventors that may not have the resources, the capabilities, the time to translate their technology to the clinic. We want to be the ones that can take those great ideas and give them the energy, give them the resources and the capability to bring them across the threshold to commercialization. And to be successful at that, to have patients using our technology, and to fulfill the promise that we're making to patients and physicians, that's the ultimate goal.
I love it. Perfect place to end this. Austin Duke, Rossellini Scientific, good luck. We'll be looking for the same people in the grocery store. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Sending in your thoughts to the show as usual, an overflow of the mailbag. Some of it has to do with Ebola, some ISIS, and some just what I think is going to happen in the elections. I will tell you this, some interesting news happened today not far from my neighborhood. It turns out that the hospital that was handling the Ebola crisis did such a poor job of it, as we know, and then the CDC with the misinformation and everything else that happened, that now, should Ebola emerge in Dallas or there be more problems with it, not far from my neighborhood, we are the neighborhood that has the hospital that is ground zero for Ebola. So there are many of my neighbors who are not very excited about that. Although, you know, what are the odds and what's happening in Dallas? We have the two nurses who are removed from Dallas. We have people that are being monitored at this point and a lot of people concerned about Ebola coming into the country in other parts of this country. And that was certainly heavily on your mind. So on that note, let's skedaddle to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you. This one from Mark, who says, Kate, I hope you're okay, timely, there in Dallas in what you call the satellite facility, because, boy, it seems like they certainly don't know what they're doing in Dallas. I heard Bill Maher on his weekly show rip it to shreds and saying, no doubt, a bunch of idiots constantly did stupid things like let the hazardous waste pile up to the ceiling. Has it gotten any better? Well, I think that part of the problem, it sounds like, and of course we don't know the exact connections, and even in trying to track it down and investigating it and talking to people, you're only getting so much information. It's tight as a lid at Texas Presbyterian because they're scared to death that they're going to lose a lot of people going to their doctors and wanting to go to Texas Presbyterian, because there are certainly many choices in a city the size of Dallas, the fifth largest city in the United States. So to answer the question, I think the CDC messed up in the beginning by not being aggressive, as Tom Frieden said himself, the man who runs the CDC, and they didn't get a lot of great information in Dallas. And I think there were certainly initially when Tom Duncan went to the hospital, that's just ridiculous. How can you not be aware of that? How can you not have any clue as to what's going on and say, well, I'm in Liberia. Do you just not even read the paper, even know what's going on when it comes to health? Are you kidding? I mean, that was everywhere, that story. But regardless, it happened. It was a huge mistake, and that just started a comedy of errors that happened there. So the responsibility for Ebola, if there should be any kind of a problem, is absolutely now been moved to another hospital close to where I live. I guess they trust that hospital more. I don't know. Or if you're Texas Presbyterians, you really want to volunteer for that. Of course, they're not going to volunteer for that. They have enough problems trying to save their reputation. All right, this one from The Dude. I like that, a reference to the fact that what is one of my favorite movies? The Big Lebowski. Somebody else wrote me one time and said, I don't get it. Why do you, The Big Lebowski, that doesn't seem like a movie you'd watch. Are you kidding? I love that movie. So anyway, The Dude says, which has nothing to do with the movie, The Dude says, hey, Kate Delaney and listeners of America Tonight, I agree with you. Why don't we have a travel ban? I don't think it's prejudice. I don't think it's political. I think it just seems safe. Why wouldn't we do that temporarily? It's safe for everybody all the way around. Certainly people don't want to be the person that spread the Ebola, although I liked your analogy. If you had a child or family and you were living in Liberia and you were worried about Ebola, you had come in contact with a lot of people, wouldn't you want to get out of there, especially if you had the means and you had connections on the other side in the United States? Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I said. If I were in that situation, what is your duty as a parent? What do you care about? Your offspring. Try to keep your family safe. Well, even if you didn't have children, friends, yourself, your family, whatever. Of course. And that's why the stigmatism attached to it, especially in West Africa, which I go back to Dr. Stone, who we talked to, and she said clearly there were people that were hiding Ebola because they were afraid. They were, one, afraid to come forward, thinking they were going to die, seeing everybody around them die, and not wanting to be the person that put the suspicion on their family as well. And that spreads it, though. You know, that would spread it. And then think of that. Imagine what that would be like. I can't even imagine. And people have gone through some horrible things in this country when it comes to death and destruction. And, you know, think of hurricanes. Think of Katrina. And what did we see at Katrina that I thought was so terrible? Body bags. All the body bags. And that's Ebola in West Africa. Not to mention, you know, that's it. You got to get rid of the body. You have to incinerate the body. You got to do whatever you got to do. And they have certain rituals. So that was bumping against their religious rituals, and some people didn't care, and they ignored the warnings and still wanted to be able to touch the person and all that other sort of stuff. So it is a mess. And I think the travel ban would have made sense. Eradicate it, open the lanes back open again once that's all done, and why take the chance? I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm the president. I know I'm veering off here. I'm going to go right back to the email. If I'm the president, the phone call I don't want to get is more people are dying from Ebola in the United States. I don't want to hear that another person who they think was infected took some flight, got on some train, did whatever, and then they were vomiting, and then some other thing happened. I don't want to get those kinds of phone calls if I'm the leader. Well, I don't think any of us want to hear about that, but if I'm the person in charge, I don't want to see that happen. All right, here's one more on this. And this one comes to us from Harry, who says, Kate, I've emailed you probably about 6 or 7 times. Rest assured, I listen to the show. I like it, darling. Here's the thing. I don't like Ebola. I don't like the way Texas is being portrayed. I feel sorry for that hospital. And I clearly put it on the back of the CDC. You've talked about that. I think they really didn't do much to help the people in Texas, didn't emphasize the severity, didn't really come up with the tight protocols. I mean, who will ever know for sure? But I'm going to say that most of the train wreck that happened should be the fault of the CDC. Well, yeah, I agree with you. If you're the CDC, you're the mighty CDC, you're funded, you're our peeps. You're the CDC. We're expecting that when we have some kind of outbreak, when there is some kind of problem, who are we going to? Who are the great minds? And there are great scientists and great people who go through the CDC. We've actually had some of them on the program. If you remember when I went to Grenada, somebody who handled patient zero after the AIDS epidemic, who worked at the CDC, and absolutely. But it doesn't mean the person in charge is good at what they need to do if something happens with some kind of outbreak. And Ebola is serious, because I'll go back to this again. How can you treat it lightly? No vaccine, no cure. Lots of variables on how someone could come across Ebola. This is why the hazmat suits and everything else. If it wasn't a big deal, they wouldn't have, they just have gloves on and a little mask or something. I mean, they look like something from a movie if you look at them. It looks like from the movie Outbreak, frankly, and that's why. It's why people dealing with it are suited up that way. All right, we're moving on to something else. Let's move on to some other emails I got. This one from Erica, who says, Kate, I'm excited about the midterm elections. I have to tell you that I vote for the person. I don't care about the party as much. I used to be a Democrat. Then I will say I flip-flopped and became a Republican. Then I was disgusted with some of the Republicans. And then I decided, you know what? I am just going to vote for the person who I think will do the best job. And I love this Florida race. And, of course, I live in Florida. Do you think Rick Scott is going to retain his seat, or do you think Crist is the guy that's in? Man, I'll tell you, that crazy thing with the fan deal, that was wild. You have Rick Scott blasting Crist. You have Crist blasting him back. And, you know, November 4th, then we'll see what the results are. A lot of people are trying to help Charlie Crist, you know, including Hillary Clinton, who's stumped for him a few times and whatnot. I mean, these are highly personal, bitter attacks if you look at the ads. I mean, they are really, really sparring at each other. And you look at Crist, and before he became a Democrat, remember, he was an independent. And then you've got Rick Scott, who certainly has his supporters. And I would say that it's going to come down to certain districts and how they vote, like where the more liberal areas are they going to get enough voters out versus the more conservative areas? Because it's a really split up state, really split up state. And the debate is interesting between those two and what they argue about deficit, you know, arguing about the deficit, arguing about money that was borrowed in the past. That's one thing Scott looks back at Crist's record and he says, hey, when you were governor, how many jobs did we lose? You know, over 800,000. And then, you know, they go back and forth that way. And I'll tell you, if I were a betting person, though, I would say probably Scott gets reelected, but narrowly. I don't think it's a blowout victory. I don't think it's a blowout win. It is because Crist is really challenging him, and he really has, like I said, there are plenty of areas and plenty of people backing him, but I don't know if he has enough to overcome the people that'll support Scott to continue in the, you know, to continue to represent, anyway, the state of Florida. Interesting times, no doubt. Stay with us.
Thank you. Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows, pause and rewind live TV, even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com. The future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
Again, hey, we're going around the track, flipping in a few more turns, and before we call it an hour, let's head out to the phone lines. If you have anything you want to throw in, we're talking about Ebola and a mixture of other things as well, a little politics, too. It's been pretty interesting, hasn't it, in a couple of different areas of the country. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, Mark in the great state of Washington. Hey, Mark, thanks for hanging. How are you?
Yes, that guy from Australia, he's awesome. I love that country. If I ever leave here in America, I'm going there.
I like Australia. I like Australia, too. I mean, they just, you know, the people of Australia, don't they, Mark, just seem so embracing?
And they're not afraid to kick the terrorists out.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
They don't take prisoners. They just
yep.
go for it.
They just anyway, go for it.
Yes. You don't seem too old to me. Maybe you're older than I think, but you sound pretty young. Anyway, I don't know where you stand on presidents or how many of you have seen, but have you seen a president worse than Obama?
Oh, here's what I think about Obama. I think all the hope and change was all hope and nonsense. I think that there was a You know, there was a great divide. And then when he came in, hey, I'm going to shore things up with Republicans and Democrats. And it was just more promises, not transparency. And even the most liberal Democrats I know, Mark, seriously, are very disappointed in this press.
And you think the first black president would bring the two races together?
Yeah, no.
And it's the opposite. So
yeah.
You know what? You're a little easier to get a hold of than, say, Rush Limbaugh would be. I got a good theme for a one-hour program, and I want one of my talk show hosts to do it. And this theme would be, call up if you voted for Obama and you regret it, and tell us why. And I think you will be swamped with calls. It's
you know what?
That's for somebody to admit that they did it and they're wrong. But, you know, I know a lot of people who are fooled.
Well, because they thought there something different was going to happen and they didn't get what they thought. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I've already done that. I've done it where we've had people call in. I was filling in one time for a guy named Jason Lewis. And, man, you are absolutely right. The phone lines were blowout phone lines because people did call in and they said what they thought was going to happen and how disappointed they were. And even some that admitted that they were Republicans, but they thought, I'm going to just, you know, I don't like the alternative here, so I'm going to take a flyer for once and I'm going to go in this direction. I have younger kids. I have other people influencing me. And they of course, are disappointed, but the mark is when you have so many Democrats that are disappointed.
And you know what? Wait until the election's over when he has nothing else to lose. Watch him cut loose. I mean, we already know they're talking about 34 million, whatever you call them, for illegals. I mean, he is
at green cards.
Yeah. Midterm election, he has nothing to lose. He is going to be out of control. And I don't think he cares. Why would he care about his fellow Democrats? He cares about himself and his own legacy. And the Saul Alinsky manual. Anyway, I know a Quinnipiac poll was taken about 2 months ago, and he was rated the worst president since Roosevelt. That's 80 years. That's our lifetime. So for all practical purposes, that's the people who were interviewed, that's their entire life. So he's basically our worst president. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, you know, we've done this and we'll do this too, even when it comes up on President's Day. Mark, thanks for hanging. Glad we're one of your talk shows. Keep listening, keep calling. And interesting, because as I said, we have done this before and we've had people call in and write and they've talked about it. Lots of people, because we have a lot of people that will email. They work different hours of the day. Sometimes they're third shifters and sometimes they're downloading. And as I said, the true mark is, are you having a lot of Democrats? I mean, because it's a layup for a Republican, let's face it, to say, are you kidding me with this, this, and this, and this? But it's when people who were really backing Obama, you know, like I come from New Jersey. So, frankly, in my world where I grew up compared to places I've lived, I really have split friends and split family where you either have some who are very conservative, have been from the beginning, are gracious and always willing to have the conversation. I don't have any friends that can't have a conversation about it. And then I have massively liberal people in my family that have been that way their whole lives, that truly embrace the idea, don't like what the word liberal has become, and don't like some of the things they've seen with the Democratic Party. And are not happy with the president, although they do say sometimes he's unfairly attacked. Like one of the things that I'll hear is, okay, I don't like, you know, it's like my aunt will say, I don't like what's happened. I voted for Obama twice. I'm disappointed twice. I thought the second time this, this, and this, and this would happen. But I think some of the people and some of the ridiculous things they're saying, they're just completely attacking Obama just to attack him, which is different than pointing out the reasons why, you know. And now it is about legacy. Certainly it's about legacy at this point. And, you know, it's I think the big mistake with his presidency was some of the people that he trusted in the cabinet. And I would say also completely announcing, we're going to be so transparent, we're not going to be like the people before us, you can count on us. So whether we mess up, you love us, whatever, it's going to be transparency, baby. And, of course, it's not. And then the biggest problem I have, but now Democrats and Republicans, some of this is the similarity, the melding that we're seeing, which is frightening to me, is the lack of action. The lack of action that it's, I say this all the time. I mean, my biggest description of D.C. is reactionaries. It's always about reacting to things instead of getting in front of things. And even Ebola is exactly like that. We're behind the curve on Ebola. Why? We know this guy comes in. We see the screw up in Dallas. Why immediately is that not shut down? Why immediately do we not stop the travel, do that, get Tom Frieden in front of this thing instead of sitting there in Atlanta and saying, oh, we should have been more aggressive about it? It doesn't help anybody to say we should have been more aggressive. And luckily so far, knock on wood, these two nurses are fighting and seem to be doing okay. But one never knows because Ebola is a strange thing. There are many twists and turns to where it can take you once it grabs hold of you, the virus. Speaking of grabbing hold, I meant to say this previously, but we had Luke Vargas on the show, and he was telling us about the whole, you know, UN thing, and meaning the UN sent a delegation of folks up to Detroit. They did a couple of visits, and what they did is in Detroit, they're upset because there was these UN lawyers who jumped on the city for cutting off water to delinquent customers, and they said the shutoffs were human rights violations. This was a 3-day visit to Detroit. Luke talked about it. And, you know, that city, of course, is in a mess. They're desperately trying to bail themselves out of bankruptcy. Many of you who call us from Michigan can attest to that. And they say that this is now just piling on another thing that they cannot deal with. And what the UN is saying is that they've heard testimonies from poor residents of Detroit who are forced to make impossible choices to pay the water bill or pay their rent. And the mayor's office blasted the UN review as one-sided. The mayor is Alex Wiley. The mayor is not Alex Wiley. The mayor is Mike Dugan. And he's saying, or at least his people are saying, that the city is incredibly disappointed with the UN and the group of people that they sent, that they took a position and they never even reached out to the city for any information, and that a lot of the people are 60 days past due or they owe more than 150. So they say, how are we supposed to bail ourselves out of bankruptcy? And what about the customers who are paying? Oh, me, oh, my, oh. Any thoughts on the show, you know what to do. Send me that email, americatonight.net.
Autumn in the air. It's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.